VentureCast.
It's not about the corner office. It's not about the fancy title. It's not even about the extra money. Responsible leadership is about taking care of those who choose to follow you, and that care takes on many forms. This podcast is dedicated to bringing you the best guests with the best advice to help you succeed in that endeavor. The Responsible Leadership Podcast is a production of The Leadership Phalanx. To find out more about me and what I do, visit leadershipphalanx.com. That's leadership, PHALANX.com. And now, on to today's show. All right, folks, hello and welcome to this episode of the Responsible Leadership Podcast. I've got an amazing guest lined up for you this week, Coach Gary Waters. Coach, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Earl.
Oh, I am looking forward to this conversation. And listeners, what I want you to know about Coach Waters is he defines a character coach as someone who lives life with integrity, honesty, and moral values. He speaks specifically on how the sport of basketball has been riddled with scandals in recent years on the high school and college levels, and how the governing authorities are committed to repairing the reputation of college basketball. His book, and one we'll talk about quite a bit through this conversation, 10 Principles of a Character Coach, addresses many of the issues that young men and women are experiencing in the athletic arena today. Coach Waters believes character and values need to be a high priority for individuals tasked with guiding young people as well as themselves. Furthermore, he is convinced that following the principles within his book will benefit anyone in developing their character, and I wholeheartedly agree. And it is with those principles in mind and with that experience that you bring to the table, Coach, I am excited to hear how you answer that first question I start off all of my guests. When you hear the words responsible leadership, what does that mean to you?
Well, to me, that means it's a person that is responsible for others, number one, and guiding and leading, directing, and influencing in the right direction to reach a required goal. You know, we all set goals and things we want to achieve in our lives. And if you're in a business, whatever it may be, you're setting goals and you want everyone that's on board to move in the same direction. But you need someone to lead that group of people. And that's what I think a responsible leader should be. But one thing I want to add to that is that responsible leader should have a certain type of leadership he's dealing with. And the leadership I think he should be dealing with is a servant leadership, where he's empowering and he's lifting up the people that are around him.
I like that. And I agree. I agree with that. I know servant leadership is a concept that, you know, has been around for quite a while. And you know, it's had its day in the sun, and a lot of people still kind of talk about it quite a bit. But I'm with you. I'm a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of its principles. And you use that concept quite a bit in your coaching career, right?
Yes, definitely. You know, even with my assistant coaches, I tried to, one of the main things I tried to do with them, and I even talk about it in my book, is empower them to lead others. But, you know, and the people that they empower, they need to empower them. But at the same time, they got to serve them and meet their needs.
Yeah. And again, this is, you know, my listeners are already kind of picking up on that because, you know, it's a big thing that I talk about. And, you know, being a Marine Corps veteran myself, we talk about these same types of principles, these building generational leadership, getting the next set of leaders ready to come up and kind of take the place. And that's kind of what you were talking about right there, right?
Yes, yes. And, you know, and I'm going to talk about this later as we continue on throughout this interview. I got a second book coming out where I talk about the Marines in this second book.
Outstanding. Outstanding. You know, I can't wait to hear about that because I always love to talk about the Marines. But yeah, we love us some us. You know how that goes, right?
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and talk about your first book, 10 okay. Principles of a Character Coach. And I like, you know, these 10 principles. I know you were kind of heavily influenced by Coach John Wooden. Right. And, you know, he was a very faith-based individual. And your very first principle is God over everything. So let's talk about that. Why did you start there?
Well, I think, like we said, you know, God over everything. And if you're going to say that, then you got to truly respond and believe in that. And what I believe is that whatever you do, you should start with God first. And, you know, we sometimes get caught up in ourselves and we think it's all about us. But it's not. And if we got a higher power working with us to help us do the right things, by putting God first, it helps you.
Yeah. Now, you know, and that one is one, you know, I grew up Southern Baptist. I'm from Tennessee. So, you know, I agree with principle number one. But, you know, we see the numbers come out, and I'm not sure if you've seen this, you know, in the modern era, you know, atheism and you know, the category of paganism is kind of growing in category. But I like what you said there, the higher power, right? I mean,
yes. Yeah. And you know what? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that too. In like I told you in the next book, cause in that next book, it's talking about what's happening today and how these behavior patterns that we have now got into leads us in a different direction. Still dealing with character, but leads us in a different direction.
Mm. Outstanding. I'm already excited for this next book. I can't wait for this to come out. yeah. Well, and so your next principle, and this is one that I absolutely love, right? Because just to give you a little insight, so when I talk about, so what I do when I talk about leadership, and this is kind of where we really sing in harmony, you've got your 10 principles. I've got what I call the 11 shields of the phalanx, and this comes from the Marine Corps leadership principles. It's the DOD leadership principles. But my number two and three, you've basically combined them for your number two, are introspection and improvement. Mm-hmm. And build relationships and look out for your people. And you say, improve yourself and others. And I like the way you put those two together nice and succinctly there with improve yourself and others. So let's talk about your principle number two, improve yourself and others. Why was that so important to put so high on the list?
Well, because, you know, we talked about it earlier. When you asked that question, give you a definition of that form of leadership. And you're working with people. And if you're leading them, you need to first understand you got to lead them in the right direction, because you can lead anywhere, any person, anywhere. And if it's a negative direction, we see prime example. We've seen what Hitler did. He was a great, great leader.
Yes.
But what did he do? He led them down the wrong path.
Absolutely.
And so as a leader, you have to understand that the people around you got to lead them in the right direction so they can become better people. That's the first thing. You know, we get caught up in how much we can gain, receive, and so on. And I understand that. That's our world today in the Western civilization. But on the other side of that, you have people's lives that you are responsible for. And you want to make sure they're moving in the right direction. And you know, think about it. That directs you towards your own family and children. You got to lead them in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, and I heard you on another one of the interviews, because, you know, my listeners know I try to do my due diligence and really kind of listen to other appearances my guests have been on. And I heard you in on another show. The name just popped out of my head. But you were kind of talking about this one, and you were talking about a coach's responsibility and a leader's responsibility of kind of not just, like in your case, not just developing the athlete, but developing the person, right?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And in our society, we tend to get away from that. And we need to move them in a direction where they're becoming better people, because one day they're going to be our leaders. You know, think about this, you know, that we live in a generation right now where it's a whole different group of people that are out there making decisions for us. And if they're not moving in the right direction, we're going to go in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was listening to you on that interview, and this is why I loved it so much, it instantly flashed back a memory of when Coach Bill Parcells was inducted in the Hall of Fame. And I was listening to him give an interview as it was leading up to that. And somebody asked him, so, you know, everybody's asking you, what's your biggest success? What's your biggest success? And so I'm going to take it a little different direction, Coach. So what's your biggest failure? And I remember without blinking, he said, Lawrence Taylor. And they looked at him and said, what are you talking about? Lawrence Taylor, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best. I said, yeah, but, and he said almost exactly what you said. He goes, I failed him. I spent too much time developing him as an athlete, and I didn't spend enough time paying attention to him as a human being. I didn't see the pain and the suffering that he was going through and the turmoil that he was going through and the things that was happening behind the scenes. I didn't pay attention to the man. I focused on the athlete.
And, you know, that's so vital, Earl, and I'm going to tell you why. I'll give you an example. When I was recruiting a player and I went into his home, and the father was a lawyer. I mean, the father was a doctor and the mother was a lawyer. So, you know, they were moving in the right direction. Okay. Right. And however, when I came into the home, the first thing they said, Coach, we're glad you're here because our goal is for you to take our son and raise him and do and make him the best he can be. And I said, I will make him the best he can be in regards to what we're trying to do. But the raising, you know, that's on your hand, number one. And number two, and they made a comment. They said, we want you to be his role model. And that immediately struck me. I said, whoa, hold on, let's stop there. I can't be your son's role model. And they looked at me and said, well, why the heck we got you in this place? Why are we bringing you here? I said, well, I can't. That's another responsibility for someone else. And the role model should be the parent. If your child, if you ask your child who's your role model and they don't say you, then someone's making a mistake in the development of that child. Yeah. Now, what I can do as a leader is be an example for him of how he should live his life and what I'm able to help him with. And from that, it should piggyback on what you're doing as a parent. And it really struck them and they said, oh, man, you know, we hadn't even thought about it like that.
Yeah.
And today we got so many people trying to push the kid off on someone as opposed to rear them and to develop them. You got to do that first development first. So when I get them, it's just we're moving forward.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I love that. I love that philosophy because, you know, and that should be the role of any leader, coach, leader, whether it's faith-based, whether it's, you know, in the workplace, whether it's athletics, whatever it is, right? I mean, I think that's where too many leaders fail their people today is, you know, they focus on how good of an accountant you are, how good of a lawyer you are. Yeah, they don't take care. They don't think that, you know, this is a person. This is somebody with a family. This is somebody with kids. This is somebody, you know, who maybe has mental health issues, has all of these things going on. You got to take care of the whole person, right?
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And it's our responsibility to do so. You know, not only lead them in whatever endeavor we're into, but lead them in life. So when they finish what they do around us, they're presenting something positive to this world. You know, my whole thing's about character. Yeah. So if you're not showing that character and you haven't been taught that, then you're not going to show it to anyone else.
Right. Yeah. No, that is 100% it. As 100%. What is it? The kind of famous John Wooden quote is, your reputation is what other people think you are. Your character is what you actually are.
Ooh, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
No. I see you've been doing a little homework there, Earl.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I live in Indiana now, so, you know, you got to know your John Wooden, right?
Oh, yeah. All the way.
So, you know, I don't want to go through all of these principles here because, you know, listeners, you're going to go get a copy of 10 Principles of a Character Coach. And, you know, I've got kind of my, you know, short list of desk reference books. This is going to be added to it because all of these are nice, easy, succinct, things that you need to have at your fingertips so you can reference them as part of your leadership journey, leadership toolkit. But I do want to kind of skip down a few here. Okay. And let's go down to, I like number six. Okay. Work hard at what matters, because I'm kind of curious your take on this, because what I see is I see a lot of people, like especially millennials, right? Like millennials get a bad rap for their work ethic. But what I see is I see a lot of people who work very, very hard, but they work hard sometimes at things that just don't really matter. And you got to really kind of get them focused on what does matter. So how do you get them to work hard at what matters?
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that because, you know, and I keep bringing reference to this. My next book is titled Coaching Millennials from a Character Perspective.
Love it.
So when you're exactly right. And in the workforce, millennials are misconstrued in my estimation. And what ends up happening is they define them in a different manner. And so it's your responsibility to define them the way you see them, okay? And in our society today, I don't care if it's a millennial, whoever it is, you want to make sure that when you give them a responsibility, they make a commitment to that responsibility and work hard at it, okay? However, if there are other things going on in their minds and in their lives, they may not focus on that as hard as they should be doing. So, and what I'm trying to tell the listeners and the readers that will read this book is that when you are given a responsibility, work hard at it. Don't worry about what anyone else says. Put that ahead of what you're doing, and don't get caught up in all that other stuff that really doesn't mean a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's, you know, what was the Martin Luther King quote? If it's your lot to be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper so that all the.
Yeah. And that's what I think we're losing in our society today, because I think they are, you know, they get a response. You know, think about cost of living and how much money you get there. If it doesn't give you a whole lot, they don't want to work hard at it.
Yeah.
You know, I today, it's funny, we're talking about this. You know, the other week I was walking downtown and I seen so many signs up saying help wanted. I mean, they're asking, they need help in our world today.
Right.
It's not that there's no jobs available. People don't want to work.
Well, and I think that ties into your next principle, value loyalty, right?
Right, right.
So yeah. One of the things, like, and again, I'm really curious your take on it, because one of the things that we're hearing a lot from the workforce, so loyalty goes two ways.
Correct.
Is that the organization hasn't shown us loyalty, so why am I going to show them loyalty? So we're having this kind of tug of war of who should be loyal first.
Right, right, right. You're exactly right. And, you know, in the profession I'm in college basketball, you know, you got all these new things that are hitting. The NIL, I don't know if you know it, that's image and likeness.
Right.
And making money off of that. So, you know, that's one issue. Then they got this other thing that's connected to the student athlete today is the portal, the transfer portal.
Yep.
So people are transferring just because they don't like how a person looks or how a person acts, instead of being loyal and making a commitment to whatever you're committed to and stay with it. You know, my parents would have told me, now think about this, Earl, your parents probably told you the same. You start something, you finish it.
Absolutely.
And today they're looking at this and saying, well, you don't have to finish that if it's not making you happy. And that's okay. You know, it may not make you happy at that moment, and having that and being a part of that. However, you still be it's still a responsibility of yours to complete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's. I mean, it's interesting, right? Because there's so many factors to it. Because using that transfer portal issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what, and this is where I kind of want to draw back to kind of like the corporate world. It's like, what responsibility do the competitive colleges have to not participate in that for the loyalty factor, right? Because mm-hmm. the students wouldn't be using that portal so freely if there weren't colleges willing to take them.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, let me add, and I don't want to cut you off here, but let me add to that. Do you understand last year there was close to 1,200 kids in the transfer portal mm-hmm. in Division I college basketball? 1,200 kids, but there were only 800 destinations.
Wow.
Now, this kid done gave up his scholarship, doing everything they did to get in that transfer portal, and he may not be selected. Mm. And then if he goes and he goes into the portal, the coach, he has no allegiance to him. So what he ends up doing is he go get another kid. And so if that kid doesn't get in any place, he can't go back to the school he was at.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a scary thing during these times.
It is. It is. It goes back. There's a gentleman, Colonel John Boyd. He was most famous for inventing something referred to as the OODA loop. Some people call it the OODA loop, but he hated calling it the OODA loop. But he had a quote about loyalty that I absolutely loved. And he said, if somebody demands your loyalty, give them your integrity. If somebody demands your integrity, give them your loyalty.
That was a great phrase. And I had gone over that phrase, because when you deal with the Marine Corps, that's the number one thing they focus on is integrity. Yeah. And when you look, and that's exactly right. When, you know, you give them your integrity, and that's why character is so vital. Yeah. You know, if you show the right character, you know, people are going to follow you as a leader. And for some reason, we feel if we gain something out of this, that's the only way we'll follow you. And that's really hurting the generations.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. And I think that's kind of where I wanted to tie all that kind of back in is, you know, with the transfer portal, with private sector organizations and all that. I think that's the one thing that is lacking kind of on both sides is that integrity piece, right?
Yes, yes. And let me give you this. And that's why I wrote the book, because even if there is a transfer portal or if there's a transfer rule, in my day when I was coaching, there was a fifth-year transfer rule, correct? And that fifth-year transfer rule had been in operation for many, many years. But in college basketball, they never really looked at it. In football, they did, because a kid, you know, let's say he's a quarterback, his first year, he decided he doesn't want to, he's trying to get bigger, stronger, and learn the system. So they redshirt him for a year. Then he's got 4 years left. He plays, he goes 3 years. In that third year, he graduates. And what the fifth year rule says, at the end of whenever you graduate, you can go any place you want to go, regardless if you got another year available. And so that's okay. I can understand that portion of it. But what I couldn't stand is people coming and re-recruiting him from you, saying, you can come to our school if you got another year, even though he's at our school. So what I'm telling you is there was no loyalty there. You know, you had to look at that and say, hey, I can't do that because I'm loyal to where I'm at. In our society, they say, don't worry about that. Move on. Get the best you can get.
Mm. Yeah. That's, yeah. Well, I mean, but again, it is kind of crazy. And, you know, like a lot of times when people aren't necessarily into sports, they wonder, like, why are there always these sports analogies in leadership development? Well, this is why, because yes, there's so many parallels. Like, this is what's going on in your organization right now is what Coach Waters is talking about. The same thing is happening in your organization right now with your talent and, you know, there's headhunters out there that are poaching your talent. There's headhunters out there right now that are taking your people through this same type of process.
And you know what the scary thing, Earl, is that's where when I talked about the parent, the importance of the parent, that's when the parent should step in And today our parents aren't stepping in because they're trying to gain something from this process as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what ends up happening is the child end up being used in the process.
Yes, sadly, yes.
Yeah, sadly. You know, you skipped one rule, and I know you didn't do it purposely, but it's one of my favorite, and that's love unconditionally.
Okay.
And when you look at that, you have a wife, you love them, you show that, or you have a relationship with someone, you show love. What I'm trying to say in that chapter is that when you take young men under your tutelage and you're responsible for them, you got to show them love. Yep. So they see that where they're at, the people there care for me. And when they care for me, I'm going to do everything I can to be the best I can be. So what I tried to do in this book is explain how I would show the love within our family and with my wife and with my children. And I would bring them around us. So when they grow up they're already grown up, but when they have their family, they can see what that looks like, because many of them may not have that example in front of them each and every day.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah. And again, I love that was in there. Yeah. That was going to be one of the kind of hidden gems when people got the book. But yeah, I mean, I love it because, and again, we'll talk about your second book here in just a second, but I'm sure talking to Marines, you saw that love is a big part of Marine Corps leadership.
That's right.
And that's one of the things that people are always shocked to find out is, you know, they always have that kind of stereotypical yelling, screaming, stomping, spitting, and slobbering kind of image. And yes, that happens.
Right.
But, you know, as one of my NCOs said, is like, look, if you go look at the write-up for the vast majority of Medal of Honor citations, you know, it talks about the actions, and a vast majority of them are somebody diving on a hand grenade, right?
Right.
And it says, you don't do that for people you don't love. Like, nobody jumps on a hand grenade to save people that they don't love.
You're so right.
So, yeah.
And think about it. We were talking about two primary principles, the one love and the one loyalty. The Marine Corps fits that perfectly. Mm-hmm. Because they're loyal to one another and to the people around them.
Yeah.
And with that love, with that loyalty, they show the love that they commit to that. And it's done unconditionally. That's why I put unconditionally. Sometimes we think of love as if they look like us, they say what we say, they are part of us, then we'll love you. But it shouldn't be that way. It's either that if you're on the same team, you should be a part of that.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what, Coach? I'm going to make a command decision here since we're talking about Marines, and I'll deal with the advertisers later. We're going to skip a commercial break this time because I don't want to disrupt this flow. This is a fantastic conversation here because I do want to, before we get into the second book, and like I said, we're not going to hit all 10 of these principles because I do want people to go and get a copy of the book and find out what we didn't talk about.
Right.
But I do want to hit number 10 and kind of leave them with this last one here, because what I love about this one, and I've shared this story on here before, but your number 10 is leave a character legacy. And when I saw this and looked at it, it reminded me of a story I always share from my grandfather when I was a young kid. And I don't even remember where it was. We were at a park somewhere and there was a statue. And I asked my grandfather, I was like, you know, who's this guy? And he didn't know. And he sat there and he looked at it for a second. He said, you know what, son? He goes, when I die, I'd rather have people asking why they didn't build a statue of my honor than asking why they did.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And I was sitting there like as a young kid, like it didn't hit. But like I, for some reason, those words really stuck with me. And like years later, talking about leadership and building a legacy, I'm like, that's it, right? You want people asking the question, why didn't they build a statue in your honor? Then why did they?
You're so right. And you know, in the book, it talks different stories about the legacies that people leave. And I thought they were quite relevant to what legacy is all about. But within a family structure, you know, you're going to, like I mentioned to you earlier, I had to go to my granddaughter's graduation. Mm-hmm. The legacy portion of that is she's going to remember I was there.
Right.
And that I made a commitment to show how we care and we want her to be what the best she can be. And the same thing in any walk of life, you need to have, whatever happens at the end, you need to leave a legacy that shows that you're doing the right things by them and for them. And that's what character is all about, that, you know, you got to leave, you got to show the things that you're doing are right, regardless of the circumstances and regardless who's watching. You got to show that behavior each and every day.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that goes back to integrity, right? Doing the right things because it's right, regardless of who's watching.
That's exactly right. And that's why, you know, I created these five core values of character. And in my next book, I talk about them, and I kind of briefly talk about them in this book. And the four are integrity, number one. Number two, honesty. Number three is trust. Number four is respect. And number five is loyalty, what we have been talking about. Each have a design definition to say, this is what a person of character should be doing. And with these core values, I think all the different virtues and principles that are out there fit within these five core values. And if you can go out and demonstrate these five core values on a daily basis, and unconditionally, then people will see that you are a person of character. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that sums it up very well. Yeah. Those are great core values there. I love that. I love that a lot. No, that's really good stuff. I can't wait for this next book. You've got me. When's this next book coming out?
And well, you know, that was my purpose, Earl.
Yeah.
To get you interested in this. Now, even though this first book is, you know, is what it's all about, and it begins and says everything we need to know about character to a certain degree. But if you can follow these principles, then your life should be moving in the right direction toward what is positive. And in our society today, we need that because we run into so many other issues. You know, like you and I talked about the police department. Yeah. They knew all the things that were going on in our society with the Floyd and all these different kind of things that were going on. But they needed someone to come and explain, you know, how they can use what they do in the right manner. And that's why I got involved with the police department. And they came to me and asked me that, hey, you know, we have a lot of issues here. Can you come and talk about this so they understand what character is all about? But more importantly, what they should be all about. So that's why I worked with the police department.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit more, because I definitely want to get a deep dive into that. Because, you know, again, as a veteran, I have a lot of love and respect for law enforcement. But I don't think anybody that has been paying attention, that has been really paying attention over the last few years, let's be honest, last 25, 30 years, probably longer than that, can really say that law enforcement doesn't need some work. Right.
Right.
What have you been doing with this? Like, let's talk about that a little bit. What have you been doing with these principles and what work with law enforcement?
Well, they, you know, the person that communicated with me had read the book, seen the book, and really was excited about it. And so he said, you know, if you could come and talk to my officers about some of these things. And I did. And the whole purpose in meeting with them is to give them information that they can use. Now, and I had to tell them even then that I don't want to get in the way of what you're doing because, you know, the issues that are going on are not everyone. You and I both know that. There's right. certain individuals that are just doing things wrong. However, when that person does something wrong, there's someone watching.
Yes.
And if they're on that same force, they should be encouraging them not to do that. And that's where that's where they need help at. Because even with that Floyd incident, as we sit and think about it, there are three other cops there.
Yes.
Okay. One of them could have said, hey, you can't do that. Take your knee off of him. Stop that. Yes. But because of the leadership, if you want to call it that, because that person may have been ahead of them in their responsibility. So they were afraid to say anything. But see, in our society today, we need to step forward, because if we don't, and that's what I mean by character, then we're hurting the people that we're involved in. You know, I give you an example. I think there's three, you know, I did a presentation on, and it's called character-driven culture. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we usually formulate within three cultures. One is our family culture. Okay, so we need to teach and lead and direct them in the right manner. The other is our work culture, and we're usually with them more than with anyone. Think about it. We spend more time with the people in the work culture than anyone else. Right. And then the third one is your friend culture. All three of those things create who you are. And here's the key to this. In those cultures, those three individual areas, each person within that culture is looking for something, and they may be looking at you. If you are the person that's coming in there showing character and this and that, they look at that. And I have numerous stories from the past how people looked at how I carried myself, and they said, hey, you know, this is the right way to do things. And that's why it's important that we understand that whatever culture we're in, we need to step up and have them understand that character is very, very important.
Hmm. Well, okay. So I love what you just said there. And I know we're kind of talking about law enforcement a little bit here, but I want to bring up because this show is going to air just a couple weeks after we're recording it here. But this will be a very timely based off of NBA commissioner's comments recently. Are you familiar with all the stuff going on with Ja Morant from Memphis?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, perfect example. Now, I'm not a huge, full disclosure, this may hurt your heart a little bit here, I'm not a huge basketball person.
Well, we got to move you over to that side there.
but you know what? He's a guy that was kind of winning me over, you know, because, you know, I, as soon as he came into the league, you know, being a Tennessee guy, kind of always kind of followed Memphis on the periphery. I heard all these great things he did. Like, as soon as he got signed, he started hosting all these charity events, buying backpacks for kids. I'm like, oh, here's a high character kid coming in. He's doing all these great things. Started hearing about all these great things he did. Like, there was, you know, the kid that I don't remember the kid's circumstances, but he was just trying to get a pair of shoes before they came out. And Ja gave him a pair of game worn shoes before they were even released. And then like a few months later, there was the girl at the game that had a basketball autograph, and a bunch of folks stole it from her after the game. And like, he invited her and her family courtside, gave them jerseys, the whole nine yards. And I see all these things pop up here. I'm like, man, this is a kid that's doing it right. He's showing a lot of these high character things. He's taking care of his fans. This is a kid that I can get behind. Right.
Right. Right.
And then there's the first gun incident, and I'm like, okay, all right. So you got a moment of poor judgment here. And then there's the second gun incident that comes up. It's like, okay, guy, you need to start picking better friends, right?
Right, right.
And so, you know, those three culture pieces, like you just hit the nail on the head. That friend culture piece seems to be the one that's tripping this young man up right now, right? All right, listeners, unfortunately, right here, Coach Waters started experiencing a little bit of issues with his personal computers, had to do a couple of swaps here. We were able to get some audio towards the end, but for whatever reason, when he swapped over here, we lost the audio. We've tried recovering it a few times and just haven't been able to bring it back. But the discussion here, and I'm going to paraphrase it real quick. It was a few minutes of discussion about, you know, that friend's character piece that we were talking about, and the importance of, even if you're doing the right things, you really do need to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with friends that have high character, because if you're not doing that piece, they can bring your character down, right? And, you know, for those of you who have been following, Ja Morant has been slapped with a 25-game suspension for next season and has come out with a statement that makes it sound like he gets that piece. So Coach and I are really pulling for the young man. And Coach made a good point there, too. We keep calling him a kid, but he's not really a kid. He is a young man. And he's capable of making these decisions and thinking for himself. And he needs to take that responsibility and really kind of pick those high character friends and surround himself with high character folks so he doesn't stumble a third time. And we're both really pulling for him that he makes that. The other thing that Coach mentioned is a podcast that he's doing with NCAA coaches where they talk about character coaching and how they take care of these young men and women and student athletes through their journeys, guardians of the game. And it's one that Coach Waters hosts himself. So when we pick up the audio of the actual discussion here, you'll hear me asking him where that can be found. So that was part of that discussion. Hate doing filler audio like this in here, but you know that's kind of why. Tried recovering it. Just one of those things that we couldn't make happen. We tried a couple times, and it stinks, but it is what it is. It happens in podcasting sometimes. Stinks. It was one of the last three episodes of the series. I don't think I've ever had it happen before, but just want to let you all know what happened and why you're going to hear kind of a break in the conversation at that point when I ask a question and then you don't hear Coach respond. And then we jump ahead in the conversation a little bit there. So that's what happened. I thought this was the best way to handle that little situation there. And then here we go back with Coach Waters and picking up talking about his podcast and then how we can find out more about him and how you can contact him to work with him about character coaching.
Okay.
All right. So this podcast, when is that live?
It's already been being played. It was during the basketball season. Okay. And so you can just click on your computer, basically any place, and it's on. It's NCAA Guardians of the Game. Let's put it on NCAA NABC Guardians of the Game.
So, no, thanks for that. And I'll just go ahead and make sure that I find that and I'll get the link in the show notes. So, listeners, you can go and click the link and go listen to that podcast. On that note, Coach, if people want to find out more about you, your previous book, when your current book lands, maybe they want to work with you, have you come work with their organization, find out what else is going on in Coach Waters' world, what's a good place for them to go look?
They can look on my website. It's www.coachwaters.com. And they can, it's got all the information about this book. Now, I know many may be interested in the next book, but like I said, that doesn't come out around November or December. So right now, focus on this book, and this is where it's at.
Outstanding. And we'll get that in the show notes as well, and we'll make sure that all of that is easily accessible for folks so they can go and find you as easily as possible because you, sir, are a gem.
Well, let me give anyone my cell number so they can get that because just in case they want to call me, one of the things I'm doing a lot of is doing workshops. Presentations, speaking at different places. I just got a call the other day. They want me to come and do for the DFW. That's the airlines, airport, speak to their people about character. So right. My number is 216-905-7524.
Outstanding. We'll get that in the show notes too. So folks, you can call Coach Waters personally and get him booked for your event. And you've heard him here today. He is a fantastic speaker, fantastic resource. So use that, reach out, and have him come speak at your organization. So I love it. Coach, I love everything you're doing. I love everything you've done. I love the book that you got out now. And I can't wait to see how you build on 10 Principles of a Character Coach and with your next book and all the great things that you're doing. I just want to say thank you very much for, working with and kind of gritting through. I'm a wizard in editing now, but I know that my listeners are going to hear we had a few little technical glitches here and there. So we gutted through it, but I just want to say thank you for doing everything you're doing, being a voice out there for character and coaching, and just being an outstanding guest on this episode of the Responsible Leadership Podcast.
Thanks, Earl. And I just want to tell everyone out there that please remember that character matters.
Well, all right, folks, there you have it. Another great show about responsible leadership. I really appreciate you listening. And if you have any feedback for me, please reach out at earl@leadershipphalanx.com. That's earl@leadershipphalanx.com. Thank you for rating, reviewing, subscribing, and sharing the show so these messages can spread further and make a bigger impact. With that, I look forward to speaking with you again in the next episode.
Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production.
Hey, it's Tim from 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys, the comedy podcast you had no idea you needed. Join Ben, Jeff, and me as we continue our musical road trip back through the years and around the globe. See, just when you thought all white guys were like Joe Rogan, you come across three educators trying to remember when we were cool.
50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys. Electricast.